Almost 2 or 3 months ago, I started a topic called The Ink Man in Genesis. I've talked about Adam in the first session. Today, I'm going to talk about the second man, Abel. What is the purpose of creation? Look at this beautiful world. When God created this beautiful world, what is in His mind? What does He want? So when we look at Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we enjoy this creation, but why? What does God want from us? And in the book of Revelation, in the future, it says there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away. So we can see the old creation, but there will be a new creation. The old creation seems is to prepare for the new creation. And what does God want in the new creation? We can see in chapter 21, verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man." God is with man. So in God's heart, God wants man to be with Him in the new creation. So, in my mind, it's just like, old creation is preparation for the new creation. Just like a little baby living in the womb of the mother for 10 months. And then after 10 months, and give birth to this world, isn't it? So that in the womb and outside the womb, old creation and new creation. This is what God wants. He will dwell with man. God wants to be with man. But why does we need the new creation? Because in the old creation, it's not done yet. In the old creation, man has to be changed, transformed into the old man becomes a new man. So this new man in God's heart to be with God forever. So this transition, just like imagine the little cell in the mother's womb become multiple cell, building up organs, skeletal structure, and become a little baby. And when the time is mature, the baby comes out. So the old creation is the preparation for God to make a new man in God's heart. And God wants man to be with Him. So the purpose of creation, we can see God wants man. But this man must be transformed to please God in his heart. This man to be with Him in eternity. So what's the new man character in God's heart? So old man and new man, what does the new man look like? So in first, when we look at Adam, when we see Adam, God gave Adam, he was created in God's image and likeness, and God gave him authority to have dominion over the creatures. So we can see in Adam's life, we can see God wants man to be like him, to share his authority. God loves man, we can see. But what does Adam tell us? God has given him free will. Why? He gave to so that Adam can show, I listen to God. Free will is not about just making choices. Just like, you want tea or coffee, you make choices. But in the end, the ultimate choice is you love God or not. You obey God or not. You want to please Him or you want to please yourself. You want to honor God or you honor yourself. The ultimate free will is about do you love God. So in God's heart, this new man loves God. So this is the character. This is the thing God wants in your life right now. In this life, in this old creation, God wants us to develop this love in us to love Him? Do you make choices every day? Do you want to study His Word? Do you come to the meeting? Do you want to serve Him? You and I make choices every day. So God wants this new man, love Him. That's the lesson we learn from Adam. How about Abel? What are we going to learn from Abel today? So after Adam, we know the fall of man. This story, maybe you have heard it many, many times in Sunday schools. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So Satan wants to destroy the relationship, the trust between God and man. So he put doubts in man's heart. God doesn't want you to be like Him. He's holding something good from you. God knows that in the day you eat, you'll be like Him. God doesn't want you to be like Him. Which is a lie, because God wants man to be like Him. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So the woman, instead of thinking about God, she started to think for herself. Food, yummy, good to taste. I will enjoy tasting the food. Pleasant to the eyes, it pleases me and make me wise. So the woman, instead of thinking about the God's and man relationship, she thinks more about herself. God is not giving me the best. God is selfish. I have to do something for myself. So the woman, what did she do? She took off its fruit, which is forbidden, and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her. But the husband is responsible for that as well. And he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So once you have disobeyed God, then you know what it means. Shame and guilt. Then you have the knowledge. Then in the first knowledge they know is that they were naked. And what do they try to do? What did they try to do? They sew fig leaves together. Have you ever seen fig leaves? The fig leaves looks very like much like a hand to me. The leaves is all something like this. And they use the fig leaves to cover their body as if they try to make something to cover their shame. So when you feel you are not good enough, when you feel there are lackings, when you have faults, we always try to make excuse. It's not my fault, it's his fault. We always find something to cover ourselves, so that people won't know the shortcoming, the sin. I'm not selfish, he is selfish. We blame others, point our fingers to others, so that people will look at others and not looking at us. We want to cover our shame. So we may have done many good things. Yes, I'm no good, but I study hard. I got a good grades. I can earn a lot of money. We use all other things as soap, fig leaves to cover myself. Look at my grades, I'm good. Look at what I've achieved. Look at how rich I am. Look at how beautiful I am. All this outward thing is to cover the inward guilt and shame before God. This is the old man. After the fall of man, people become like that. So what can we learn from Abel? Now, then to Adam, God said to him, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake." I want you to notice, because of man's sin, the whole creation comes into cursed is the ground. The whole man's sin causes the whole environment to change. "In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So thorns and thistles come up. So it seems before man's sin, all the bad things would not come up. But after man's sin, all the thorns, pricky part to, hurt you, cause you harm. All this harmful thing comes up. And man has to sweat. We have to work very hard, labor. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, and out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So if the ground is not cursed, our life will be easy life. We don't have to sweat. We don't have to, not many shortage of food. But because man sin, man has to labor, sweat, blood, tears, change our life totally. So today, men are still under the curse of sin. You work very hard. You labor. You sweat. You have tears because the ground is not growing the thing you want. And what did God do later on? Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Tunics of skin. Where does the skin come from? That means something is dead. An animal is dead. So you can take the skin off. So what does it mean? Men use fig leaves to cover their shame. But fig leaves can't last long. Fig leaves will wither. In the beginning, fig leaves may look beautiful, like hands. Oh, look at my clothing. But sooner or later, this beauty will pass away. Doesn't last. But until an animal was killed, the skin, the beauty of the animal was taken out to cover your shame, to cover our guilt, our shame. Now, of course, you may understand this speaks of Christ. What does it mean? It means man's good work is not good enough to cover his guilt or shame. It's never enough. But only by the death of an animal or the death of Christ, his death, his beauty can cover my shame and my guilt before God. So this is a very meaningful part. So I want you to pay attention. But come back to this. Cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground. And later on, what happens? Let's see what Cain and Abel did. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, the first son, an elder, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So one keep the sheep, one was the tiller of the ground. He grows crops or vegetables, I don't know. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. So both are trying to please God, to bring an offering. But Cain brought something from the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. Now, look at this. And the Lord respected Abel and his offerings, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. You may say, wonder why? Both are working hard. He is a tiller of the ground. He works hard to dig, to plant, to gardening. Abel spent maybe less effort looking after the sheep. And yet, when they all bring their best, what they achieve before God, God is happy with Abel's offering, Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. You may wonder why? Why God showed partiality? What's wrong with Cain's offering? So Cain was not happy and his countenance fell. He got angry. Now I will talk about this later, but look at what Cain did. Why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, we will not be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So God looked into Cain and speak to him, why are you angry? Now notice, God knows your heart. When you are angry with your sisters or brothers, angry with your friends, angry with anyone, the Lord may speak to you, why are you angry? It's a time to consider inside what's in your heart and deal with the anger. If you are not dealing with the anger, it may raise to another level that you may commit something horrible later on. So think about, if you do well, you will not be accepted. If you are doing the right thing, God will be pleased with you. And that's it. No matter what people feel, if God is pleased with you, then so be it. So when people point out that you are wrong, would you be angry? If you are pleasing in God's sight, you don't have to worry too much about how people think about you. Sometimes this generation, we were so worried about our self-image. How my friends look at you. Am I beautiful? Am I being accepted? We worry so much about human evaluation. But how about God? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Be careful. If you're not dealing with the hate or the sin inside your heart, lies at the door. Its desire is for you. Sin is trying to hold your life, to destroy your life. But you should rule over it. So God is warning Cain. Beware of your anger. Beware of your jealousy. It may destroy you. Deal with it. Deal with it. Face it. Confess that you are angry. Think about if you are wrong, then you should return. Repent. So God wants us to change. So often when we got angry, we don't care. Now Cain talked with his brother Abel, and he came. I'm sorry, I missed that part. So later on, Cain was so angry that when he had his chance, he killed Abel. Now, there are questions. The question is, why did God not respect Cain's offering, but respect Abel's offering? Now, Cain works. He works on the ground. But the ground, remember, is cursed. That means God is not happy with it. But yet, he's in his mind, the ground is cursed, but I can grow something good out of it. I can change it. So the idea to me is, when God says, it's cursed, no good. But you say, it's not too bad. I can change it. God, I can make it looks nice. For example, let me give you an example. If I tell you I don't like bananas, but you may say to me, oh, banana can be tasty. I can deep fry it, cut it, season it, put more spice, change it into something nice. So I've told you I don't like bananas, but you still insist, I can change it to something good. You will change your mind. So instead of you listen to me, you still offer me bananas dishes. Okay? So bananas may be, you may say banana is nothing, but if I told you I hate cockroaches, you say, cockroaches, I can make it very tasty. I can deep fry it and put some salt and pepper, and you won't notice it, and you hand me a deep-fried cockroaches, a dish. I would be offended, isn't it? Because I say I hate it, and yes, you still try to make something good out of it and try to please me with it, I would be angry with you, isn't it? When you say to me, clearly, it's no good, but you say, I can do something good. What does it mean? I can please God by my wisdom. I can please God by my effort. I can please God by my labor. I can do something. I can change God's. When God curses something, I can change it into something good. What does it mean? I can do it. I can overturn God's judgment. When God says no, I can make it yes. When God says no good, I can make it sound very good. Well, I would say that is a heart of rebellion in our hearts. So it's not, we know in the Old Testament there's a peace offering or you can offer things that, so it's not about meat or no meat, vegetarian dishes. It's not about God wants vegetarian. God hates vegetarian dishes. No, it's not about that. It means about, I think it spiritually can mean that man is not obeying God. Something like that. But Abel, he is a shepherd. Why would he keep sheep? At that time, people don't eat meat at all. The only reason I can think of is because when he saw Adam offer, God gave him the tunic to cover himself. It seems the death of the animal means God accepted the death of the animal. So God accepted the atonement of the animal. Because of the death of the animal, God can accept me. That means I cannot rely on the I can only rely on the sacrifice of the animal, not by my how hard I work, how wise I am. I can only come to God by the death of that animal. Which means whenever we come before God, I depend on Christ. No other way I can please God. Only by Christ, through him, I can come before the Lord. So every time when we're breaking of bread, what does it mean? Because of Christ, God accepted me. Because of Christ, my sin were taken away. I'm cleansed. We can be God's children because of the death of Christ. So you see, these are the two principles which are very different. One is I can by myself. The other thing, one is I can only rely on Christ. So what is the character of the man in God's heart? When this, from the Abel we know, man's, when he come before God, he is not, I am good enough. Rather, I notice I'm nothing. I can come before you is because of Christ. Someone depend on Christ or someone who depend on himself. You or Christ. This is the most important principle. Now we may wonder, why didn't God stop Cain and save Abel? Just now we noticed God warned Cain. Now, deal with the anger in your heart. If you don't deal with it, you may get upset one day. You may even try to kill your brother. You see, God warned Cain. But I always wonder, why God doesn't warn Abel? Hey, your brother hates you. He's jealous with you. Beware of him. Stay away from your angry brother. Why doesn't God warn Abel? Now, I use this as an example. If God stopped everything, if Cain just holding a rock ready to smack on his brother's head, and God suddenly used earthquake or lightning and suddenly stopped that action, what does it mean? It means whenever I try to do wrong, God will stop me. If he doesn't like what I'm doing, he can stop me, isn't it? Then, if someone is dead, is it my fault or God's fault? I tried to kill him, but God, you did not stop me. I tried to kill her, and you did not stop me. God, you can stop me. Don't stop me. I killed her. It's not my fault. It's God's fault, isn't it? So people will put all the blame on God. And that man seemed to be irresponsible. I use this as an example. If a baby, you know, the baby, they like, the young kids, they like to throw something on the ground, isn't it? Give you this, ha-ha-ha, imagine that he's holding a bowl or plate. He throw it, and the mother walked, catch the plate. He throw it out, the mother catch the plate. What would the baby think? Oh, it's fun. Throwing all the plate everywhere, and the mother has to catch it. If the plate break, whose fault is it? Is the baby's fault or the mother's fault? The baby may say, mother, it's your fault, you didn't catch the plate. So if God starts to stop all this happening, then the baby would never learn. She will never learn. The baby will never, if I throw it, the plate will break. If I do something wrong, my brother would die. I will lose my brother. I have done something wrong. There will be no chance for Cain to feel the guilt, knowing the seriousness of sin. No consequence, because God bear all the consequences. So God willing to let us something bad to happen, so that man, if God stopped every evil work before it happened, man may not bear responsibility. It's not my fault, it's God's fault. And also, he may not realize the consequence. He may never see the pain. He may never see the blood. He may never feel the loss of life. He may never treasure life. You see? The seriousness of sin, separation. So God let us have a taste of sin in this world, in this old creation. So old creation, man can experience something bad. And out of this bad, he will long for something good. When he longs for something good, he looks into the salvation of God. And these people, knowing that the seriousness of sin and the importance of obedience to God, then this man will be ready for the new creation. You see what I mean? So, old creation is not perfect. But in this imperfect world, man knows responsibility. Man knows the seriousness of sin. Man knows, oh, it's a bad thing to be away from God. So man can make choices to turn away from evil and turn to God. So only in this old creation, we can experience evil around us, in us. But we can learn from this and prepare us to turn away from evil and come to God. Now, was it unfair to Abel? Well, Abel's life is very meaningful. The purpose of man's life does not depend on how long he lived, but his life fulfilled his mission on earth. In fact, in God's eye, he's righteous and pleased God. So he made a perfect, his life may be short, but he has demonstrated what it means by a righteous man, and how the first person mentioned in the Bible, he pleased God, isn't it? So, if he lives longer, does it mean a more perfect life? So the Lord knows when is the best time for the journey to end for you and me. We may think, how long do you want to live? 40, 50, 80, 110? How long do you want to live? We have no idea. But the Lord knows when would be the best time for us to leave earth and to come back home to him. So for him, it's time for him to go home to meet his Savior, to meet his Creator. So it's not unfair. Someone leave early is not about fair or not. The first one with faith. In Hebrew chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He was remembered. He has done a great job. Excellent sacrifice. Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous and God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he's still being, that still speaks. So, what a great achievement. He still speaks to us. Abel speaks to us that he made a great offering, excellent sacrifice. What have we learned? Are we making excellent sacrifice? What can we learn from Abel? He is trying to speak to you today. Question 3. What can we learn from this offering to God? So, this offering, what does it speak of? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, offering speaks of, is not by our effort, not of works, but by grace, through faith, not of ourselves. So Cain, he can claim, oh, my offering, God is pleased because I work very hard, I'm smart. No. For by grace we come through faith. So we can't boast. Cain, if God accept Cain's offering, Cain can boast. See how smart I am. I'm better than you. God pleased with me. He can boast, but by offering like Abel, that means I can't do anything. It's by grace that God accepted me. It's by grace I can accept Christ. So in the end, it's about, are you proud in your heart? I can do it. I'm good. I'm strong. I'm smart. If you are proud, you think your work works? No. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Pride goes before destruction. Indeed, Cain is like that. He has pride in his heart. He got angry. I have worked so hard. You should be pleased with what I have done. But when God said no, he got so angry. How can you reject me like that? So pride is before all this anger. And a haughty spirit before a fall. How can you treat me like this? I deserve something better. This is pride in our heart. The fall of Lucifer is the pride. Lucifer speaks of the angel of light. Lucifer speaks of Satan. How does Satan become Satan? He used to be an angel. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, it tells about the origin of Lucifer, Satan. He was fallen from heaven. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nation, for you have said in your heart. Now notice that I will. This is Satan's heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. He want to exalt, ascend, sit. Sit speaks of he was on the throne, the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. So he wants competition with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to raise himself. But remember, Lord Jesus, he humbled himself. Not become a man, but even more, to be like a slave to save us. Satan wants to raise himself. Christ would like to humble himself, emptied himself, let go of all his glory and honor, like that, to become a humble man. Now, these are two different. One is exalt himself. Christ humbled himself. When Christ humbled himself, God raised him to give him name above all names. So what is in your heart? You always want to raise yourself up. Sometimes we say, oh, I can't do it. I'm not good. I'm not good enough. It seems very humble. But actually, if you think you're good enough, you will stand up. See how good I am. The thing is, you are not that good, then you try to be humble. Because you know that you are not that good. But if you think you are good, you may like to exalt yourself. If you are good at singing, you always find a chance to sing. If you are thinking you are beauty, you always walk out and willing everyone to keep having their eyes on you. We want to show off. We want people to look at us. This is the heart of Satan. He wants to ascend, exalt. He just thinks of himself, in other words. And yet, what is the outcome? Yet you shall be brought down to show to the lowest depth of the pit. So if you try to raise yourself, you will be brought down. Like Christ, if you try to humble yourself, and God will raise you up, exalt you. See, this is the principle in God's heart. We can learn something from this in your life. If you always want to raise yourself, oh, I'm good, people look at me. I'm good at this. People admire me, appreciate me. Raise yourself. One day you will be humble. But if you serve God out of a humble heart, who knows, God may raise you one day. So what can we learn from Abel? Where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So what can we learn from Abel? Abel is counting on the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we can have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood. Which means, whenever we come before the Lord, whenever you come to this meeting, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Not because how many Bibles you have read the whole week, not how good you have been. Whenever we gathered before the Lord, is by the blood of Jesus. We can have boldness to come, to enter the holiest. So, not I, but Christ. Not the gift I have. Not how good I am. Not how strong, how smart I am that I can come to serve the Lord. It's by the blood of the Lamb. You and I are on the same ground. By the blood of the Lamb, we can come before and know Him. We can't have pride in our heart. I am good. No, it's by the blood. We humble before God. So what does God want from Abel? In other words, not a proud man who by his works he can come before the Lord, draw near to God. I come to the Lord because how good I am. No, I come before the Lord. Is by the blood of the Lamb. Humbled, knowing that we are nothing before this great God. I come because of grace. I come because I have faith in the blood of the Lamb. I can come to draw near to God. Now, this is the character of the new man. Humble man. Not I, but Christ. So, have you learned this? Not I, but Christ. This is the message we have today. So let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can learn from your words. We can learn from the life of Abel, that we know we can come near to you not because of the good works or the hard works that we have earned our way to you, but only through Christ, by grace, that we can come. We need to humble because we see we are nothing but rely on the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for your great love on us. Teach us to walk with you. Teach us to offer Christ in our life. Let Abel's message still speaks to us today. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Amen.